This is Reflections of the Lighthouse, a podcast sharing the hope of the gospel for those struggling with life-altering addictions. If you'd like more information about the Lighthouse and the services they provide, visit biblicallifereverycenter.com. And now, here are your hosts, Brandon Bauer and Dwayne Modlin.
Welcome to Reflections of the Lighthouse. Today, we're going to continue our discussion on fear with Pastor Dwayne Modlin. We summed this up last week by saying to fear God is to love what he loves, to hate what he hates, and to have an utter dread of ever displeasing him.
Amen.
So I want to talk today about how our love for God is demonstrated by our willingness to obey God.
Well, this is what Jesus says. If you love me, you will
keep my commandments.
Yeah, you'll obey me, right? Not that the obedience leads to my salvation.
That's often a misunderstanding.
Yeah, I think sometimes we misunderstand what Paul and James are doing in their letters. James is dealing with one false idea. Paul is dealing with a different false idea. Paul is dealing with legalists who are saying that it's Jesus plus obeying the Old Testament law, the ceremonial law, circumcision, to be particular in order to be saved. Well, James is saying, you people who think you can just make a confession and it never impacts your life and nothing ever happens, you never change. The Holy Spirit never does work. Okay, your faith produces your salvation, but your salvation produces good works. It produces a love for God.
We have a lot of people who try to add to that.
Yes.
There's a lot of churches that are adding to salvation. There's a lot of cults that are adding to salvation. Yep. There's a lot of misunderstood people who are adding to salvation. Things like, oh, I need to be baptized and then I'll go to heaven.
Yeah.
Or I need, if I just do more good than bad, or if I give more money to... we're faced with this everywhere we go.
Yeah.
It is, I think, subtle lies of Satan to keep us from true salvation.
Biblical salvation, yes.
So our love for God being demonstrated by our willingness to obey isn't adding to. It's because of what he did, I'm going to.
Yeah, I think Paul sums this up pretty well when he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, if we just stop at that text, Brandon, it sounds like what?
We have to work.
It's our work, right? But then the very next text, it says that it is he who works in you for his good pleasure. Well, what is that good pleasure? To work for him. So it is even the works that I produce in my life is because he's working in me for his good pleasure.
So some people are really scared of this concept, but that God loves them and wants to be a part of their life. But I think is what they're scared of is all of the nonsense that's been added to that. The, oh, I can't do this and I can't do this and I'm going to be controlled here. And that is not what we're talking about.
No, I think this idea of Jesus plus a checklist of things, right? It can be dangerous, most definitely. So but genuine salvation, the issues that we have to explain here, and it can get a little sticky, is that genuine salvation will produce, in the long run in someone's life, genuine fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that means good works. Jesus says you shall know them by their
works.
Yeah, their fruit, their works. Fruit,
yep.
Yeah, how they live.
We also see the man that hung on the cross with Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, save me a place in heaven. I trust in you.
Yeah.
And then he died. You know, if it's really true that I have to do something, that man wouldn't be in heaven today.
No. Now, I believe that if he would have been saved from the cross, God would have worked in his life.
Absolutely.
Right. In miraculous ways and changed his life.
Not a requirement.
Not a requirement. A result of.
Exactly. So in 2 Timothy 1:7, we see that we are not given a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. So someone who is controlled by fear, a spirit of fear,
yeah,
that is not of God.
Yeah.
That is something we need to confess.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Scripture never says, confess your depression.
Yeah.
It talks us how to walk through deep valleys.
Yeah.
I mean, depression is a normal part of life.
I mean, we read the Psalms, right?
Right. But it does say, do not be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety is sin. Anxiety mm-hmm. is rooted in fear. And when we're an anxious and we struggle with this fear, we're sinning. Our world tends to medicate anxiety. Mm-hmm. Well, just take some pills and you'll be okay. Yeah, the pills interact with our body and calm mm-hmm. us down, but we're not getting at the root causes. So when someone's anxious, we got to look back at what fears are driving those things, and we need to enter this thing called repentance.
Yeah, and I like the last statement, and of sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fearful people usually are fearful of things that are not set in reality. It's so they're not of
sound mind,
right? I mean, I have faced fears in my life of what ifs, right? What if this happens, and what if this happens, and what if this happens? And what I've come to realize, usually it never goes the direction I ever think it's going to go in the first place.
So when I was 7 years old, we lived in a trailer in West Virginia while my parents were going to Bible college. And I swear there was a werewolf living in my closet. And I could not sleep for weeks. And one day I woke up with 3 scratches down my leg. And I have no idea where the scratches came from, but I was convinced from that moment on that I would never sleep in my bedroom again. And I slept on the couch for about a year after that because I allowed a false fear to rule my heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I vividly remember being terrified of my bedroom.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, I never shared it with my family. I just slept on the couch. And we've got to understand that most fear is not based in reality.
Yeah.
But there are times. Yes. There was a time when we were in Africa with our kids and Sawyer disappeared. I could not find him. We were in a crowd of people.
That's scary.
And you hear things like your kids are going to get abducted. And instantly I was terrified. And we, you know, ran around screaming, looking for this kid. And he was just overusing a water fountain or a bathroom or something. Didn't ask. But so there's some legitimacy in fear.
Yeah. It's, for example, you're sitting down in front of an oncologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you the worst news that you could ever get. For example, you have cancer and it's pancreas,
mm-hmm.
pancreatic cancer. And there's not much we can do. That is set in reality.
Sure. If we're walking down a street and we look up and there's a lion in the middle of the street, we have a natural tendency to be scared, and I'm going to outrun you.
Yeah,
because I'm in much better shape than you are.
Whatever.
And I'm going to let the lion eat you while I'm going to find some freedom, right?
Well, I think God does give us this fight or flight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no sin in that.
No.
It's being lost in this werewolf's going to get me if I sleep in my bed tonight. And that might seem like a really weird, wild exaggeration, but
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people come to us with irrational fears. That are just controlling their life, and those not based in reality are sinful and need confession.
Yeah, and there's usually some trauma in somebody's past with some of these things too. And we understand, and we don't want to minimize that as well.
Which is why we provide professional counselors to meet with people who are struggling with these things, because sometimes you need help walking yourself out of these man-made fears.
Yes.
So some steps to releasing fear, Pastor Duane. Number one, list them. I'm a big proponent of journaling.
Yeah, me too.
Write them down. Even if you wrinkle them up and burn it and throw it in the fireplace.
Yeah.
Write them down so you have a visual idea of what your fears are. Be specific.
Yeah.
I am scared of this and this because of this and this. Mm-hmm. The more specific we can be, the more we can get to the heart of the issue behind it. Then we need to research scripture on fear.
Yeah.
You know, there is an amazing Bible study tool. It's called Google. And
wow,
all you have to do is go biblical scriptures on fear and you'll get lists of them. Now,
you can even list your certain type, whatever you're fearing, death, fearing divorce, fearing different types of fears that you can look up in scripture.
Now, there's some warning there that Google isn't the inspired word of God.
Amen.
But it can be a useful tool in directing us to God's word to find the truths that are there.
Yeah, and we grab a hold of those promises, right?
Then as we're researching our fear, we confess what we're seeing in scripture. God, I am fearful of, and I'm not trusting you in, so I confess this to you today.
Yes.
Seeking God's forgiveness. And then as a believer, we can face fear by claiming the promises of God that he will walk with us, he will strengthen us, and he is there to guide us.
Yeah, the example I gave in our last podcast was Joshua, right? Who God says, don't fear, don't be afraid. I mean, I'm calling you to go into this place. These people are bigger than you, stronger than you. But don't fear. Everywhere your foot treads, I'm going to give you the land that I've promised to your forefathers. But did he have to battle?
Yes.
He had to go into these cities and he had to battle. He had to claim the promise that God had given him, right? This is why we research the scriptures. This is why we look at those, to grab those promises, confess those promises, face that fear head on with the promise of God. Battle that thing. It looks bigger than you because it is bigger than you. Mm-hmm. But it is not bigger than God.
Amen.
And that's the issue. And Joshua came to that conclusion. And he held on to the promise of God.
And a lot of times we think that, I'm not like those Bible characters. But if you think about it, look at Moses. Moses was a terrified individual.
Yes.
He had a speech problem, and he allowed it to rule his heart.
Yeah. He was a murderer, too.
But look how God used Joshua and Moses and other biblical characters that had the same struggles that we have. What was the difference? They were fully committed to Christ. Yeah.
Well, what about Gideon?
Yes.
I mean, he was terrified that the people were going to keep coming in who were conquering the land, steal his stuff. So he was in a wine press, which goes in the ground like a pool, and was trying to thresh out his wheat, which you need wind to do that. And he's underground, basically, because he's so terrified. And then God calls him to go conquer the people that are conquering them. Mm-hmm. And then he keeps cutting the army in half that he wants Gideon to use to conquer these
people.
God
was making a point.
Yeah. And he was giving Gideon a promise. And Gideon held that promise. And they didn't have to lift barely a finger because God stepped in and conquered that army for them.
Yep. So back to steps to releasing fear. We list them and be specific. We research and read scripture on our specific fears. We confess them and seek God's forgiveness. We face the fear by claiming God's promise, maybe with the help of a counselor.
Yeah.
Then we repeat the above steps if we're still struggling.
Yes.
And one of the things that scripture gives us to help with our thought life is a passage in Philippians that says, renew your mind. Think on things that are good and honest and of good reputation, things that are worthy to think about.
Philippians 4:8.
Yep. So replace the fears with good thoughts and hide God's word in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And these things will help us overcome that negative ruminating of fear in our life. So just for example, I used this the other day when I was preaching at a church. When I am struggling with sin or fear or whatnot, I always think, and it may sound silly, but what would my mom think of me right now? And, you know, I used to try to think, what would Dad think of me? But it didn't work. But when I switched it to mom, my mom loves God, and mm-hmm. my mom loves our family. And there are things about my mom that are worthy to think about.
Yes.
And I don't want to disappoint her, and I don't want to mar our family name. That would yeah. So these are just simple tools we can use as we're struggling with sinful yeah. fear, to think about things that are different, things that are mm-hmm. positive. Think through scripture, sing songs. Scripture tells us to sing songs in our heart to God,
to him, songs of worship.
One of the struggles I have with modern Christian music is it's not singable. They're concerts, but yeah. not something that I can sing. And I'm not great at singing by any means.
Yeah.
My wife would attest to that.
And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, but
we need yeah. songs that we can
resonate
and sing. And re-sing. It's not something that is so complicated that only a musician can do.
Yeah.
So I love old hymns.
Now, I do too.
I don't mind old hymns being redone in new ways
yeah.
if they're singable, because I need that stuff in my life as I'm struggling throughout my days.
Well, let's just be honest. And I'm not knocking modern music. This isn't a knock. Mm. I listen to some of it and enjoy it. But hymns have a theological depth that a lot of our modern songs just don't have.
Does it include all of them?
No, not all of them.
So anyway, that was so a rabbit trail that we just went down.
It's your fault.
Uh-huh. So fear of death.
Yep.
That's a big one. Fear of death is sin for the believer.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because of Christ. Christ died and rose again. And we have the promise that though our bodies fall asleep, the moment our bodies fall asleep, we're present with the Lord, and that one day Jesus will return and we'll be given a glorified body.
Yep.
It's not trusting the promise of God.
Now, I am not a fearful person in general. I am so, recently my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that he went fast.
Yeah.
One of the things that I do not want to happen
is slow,
painful yeah. death.
Yeah.
But I also believe that God can give us grace to go through those things
yes.
well.
Yes.
So come quickly, Lord Jesus, so we don't have to deal with that. Amen. But if we do, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us so much.
Yeah. And I'm grateful.
Yes. Another fear of exposure or fear of failure, that is rooted in sin.
I've said before, you know, failing does not make you a failure. It's when you don't get back up. What most people do is who struggle with fear, they fail and they stay down. Don't stay down.
Yep.
Get back up. Get in the fight. I mean, one of the greatest preachers to ever preach, other than Jesus, Peter, failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Miserably he failed. And then within a span of a couple months, he stands up and preaches. And how many people come to Jesus Christ? 3,000 men, not including women and children. One sermon. From failure to success.
Mm-hmm. Because of?
His trust.
Yep. So fear often leads us to several things. Number one, it's hiding from God. We see that in the mm-hmm. Garden of Eden.
Yes.
Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and then they hid.
Mm-hmm.
It also results in us hiding from others.
Isolating.
Yep, isolating. We don't want others to know how sinful we are, how bad we are, or when I offend someone, it's easier to avoid them than to face them.
Yeah.
And then it often leads to us covering our sin as well.
Mm-hmm.
These are all negative effects of sin in our lives. We have to be willing to accept the consequences to our sin.
Yes.
To confess, repent, pay restitution if needed.
Mm-hmm.
It helps grow our integrity and definitely clears our conscience.
Yeah, I think we need to be clear here, though. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
And we are eternally secure in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there are no consequences as far as the wrath of God. But there are natural consequences to our sins that we have to face sometimes.
Yep. We're called in Scripture to crucify our sins. This means allow them to be covered by Christ,
yes,
and to walk free of that. Luke 22:42 says, "Not my will, but yours."
And that's Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. Not my will, Father, but yours.
Would be a great prayer for all of us.
Wouldn't it, though?
Yeah. This wraps up our time in fear. Thank you so much for listening to Reflections of the Lighthouse. We want to remind you again to visit us on April 18th, as we are hosting a poverty summit here at our community center, 3000 East State Boulevard, on April 18th at 6 o'clock. It's a free summit. We're partnering with Shepherd Community Center to host them and their view of poverty, about believers in poverty, and what we can do in our communities to help fight poverty. So please join us for this free event on April the 18th. The Lighthouse Poverty Summit. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
God bless.